Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. This is Brother Larry Knowles and the Redemption Time broadcast coming to you again from WKXV in Knoxville, Tennessee. We do appreciate each one of you that's listening today. Trust that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. I have a couple of things coming up in the future to church I'd like to tell you about. Then we'll get into this new series we're going to start today. I think it'll be a short one, but we'll see. There at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We hold our Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday mornings. 10:45 begins our worship, and 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, and then 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Now, we are looking forward to the weeks ahead. Brother Tom Gillum will be with us on the 5th of January through the 8th, along with the Lancaster family, who will be singing at our winter revival. I invite you to come and be with us. Brother Tom is a dynamic preacher. These singers will bless your heart. Then, also before then, on December 22nd, that's the Sunday before Christmas, we will be having our candle lighting service, at the evening service at 6 p.m. And that is, if you'd like to come and light a candle in memory of someone, maybe light the candle, pray with your family. And it's always a real special service. We always get really blessed. And I know that you'll be blessed if you come. And we just want to give you an invitation to all of these things. We're a loving church. We are an old-fashioned Baptist church. We still preach the Word of God. We still believe in the preaching of the gospel is the way that people are saved. And we do believe that when you're saved, it's God's will that you be in a local church and serving and worshiping in that place. So if you don't have a place to worship, we give you an invitation to come. I promise you, you'll like it. We will love you. We will take you in. You'll be part of the family. And just trust that the Lord would lead you that way. If you don't have a place to worship, or if you need help with the Lord, if you need to know the Lord, we'd love to come. Have you come and let us tell you about him. Well, now let's go and have a song, and then I will be back with today's message. Now, today we're going to have a song by the Lancaster family. These are the folks that will be singing for us at our revival from January 5th through the 8th. And so I want you to hear them and invite you to come and hear them in person.
It goes.
I'll walk walking down a memory lane from past so long ago. The enemy came by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way.
He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?"
I heard the old deceiver, and this was my reply. "You're right for all the wrongs I've done. I sure deserve to die. My righteousness was filthy rags, my goodness unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood of raised near lane. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood.
Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and gave me life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, I'm glad I now can say
it's under the blood of raising your name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed, not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
Well, I trust the song was a blessing to you. That was written by Brother Leonard Fletcher. It's under the blood, and certainly that's the only place that sin can be hid. It doesn't matter what you do in this world to try to hide your sin. The Bible says be sure that it'll find you out. And neighbor, I've seen that work time and time again. That you, no matter how good of a secret you think you're going to keep your sin hidden, sooner or later it's going to get out. And especially when you stand before God, the only way that you can stand there and withstand His countenance is if your sins are under the blood. And thank God, when we're saved, He washes us in the blood. And He covers those old sins and cleans us up from them, takes them away. And then as we walk through this world and get defiled, we come back to Him and ask His forgiveness, confess that we've sinned, and He again puts those under the blood so that when we stand before God, we will stand faultless, not because of anything we are, but because of Jesus and what He is and what He's done. Now let's have a quick word of prayer, then we'll get into our today's message. Father, we do thank You for the opportunity to be here today and for the radio broadcast. Thank You for making it possible for me to be here. Thank You for each one that's listening. Thank You, Lord, for the radio station and the freedom we have to continue sending the gospel out over the airways. Now, Lord, I do pray that today You'll make this broadcast a special blessing to someone who needs an uplift, who needs to be blessed, who needs, Lord, to understand how much You care and that You love them. And through the Word of God, Lord, we hope to exalt You and lift You up and hold You up as a beacon, and just trust that folks will be blessed and be helped by the broadcast today. Lord, I pray for the church, pray for Brother Rick, pray for our missionaries, and for all the things going on as we enter this blessed season where we honor the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we remember once again that he left his home in glory, laid aside that royal robe, put on the body of a human man, took on all the suffering and the things that go along with being in the body of flesh, died on a cruel cross for us. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending him. Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you, Father, for your many, many blessings. Lord, I pray for those that are sick, afflicted, have problems in their life today. Help them. Those that are upset, those have maybe been wronged, I pray that you'll help them, Lord, and get them past it. Especially today, if there's one out there that's under the sound of my voice that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that you'll tap them on the shoulder and remind them that they need to be saved. And then, Lord, save them according to your will and by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for the last few weeks, we've been looking at the conquest of Jericho done by Joshua and the nation of Israel when they began their march across the promised land that God had promised them and taking what had been promised to them by God himself. And so we see that last time, we saw that great victory that they enjoyed at Jericho. And so they did obey God's command and against all odds of what seemed plausible and possible. They did take that city. God broke that wall down. God gave them just all they had to do is go in there and take it. And so that was what God intended. And that's the way it turned out. Now, he told them that all of the spoil out of that city goes to me and to my house because they had done nothing to win that city. He did it all himself. And he said, this is all mine. You put it in my house and so that my work can go on. And then that was his command. So then leaving there, we see that in chapter number 7, it said in winding up chapter number 6, where we ended last time, where Joshua had told them to go and fetch Rahab out of her house, and all that was behind that scarlet thread, all that was under the blood, as we would play you that song, they came out and they were safe. And so that was where that one ended. And verse number 27 of chapter 6 says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So this was a great victory. And when this happened, his fame, it said he was famous throughout the region, and people were talking about it. All over the region, they heard about what had happened, and therefore he was lifted up as a hero. Then I want you to notice, beginning in chapter number 7, verse 1, we'll read you 5 verses, and have some other verses we'll read as we go along, but this will be our springboard text for this series, which I don't think will last too long. 2 weeks from today, I intend to do a Christmas special, so that will probably interrupt this, and I don't think I can do it in 2, but I could probably do it in 3, I'm not sure. But anyway, beginning with chapter number 1, verse 1, excuse me, chapter number 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now, you remember the accursed thing. You remember when God commanded them to go into Jericho and that everything that was in there was cursed. It was cursed because of the sin of that city. And God told them, if you take of that for yourself, you're going to become accursed just like that is. So it said that the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, I want you to notice that Israel was considered one main team together, and when one sinned, it was as all had sinned. All suffered. The glory of God had left them, and everybody in that congregation suffered because of the sin of one man, Achan. And so we find that that is the way that it goes, even in the Christian life today. If one of God's children sins and presents a bad picture to the world of the Lord Jesus Christ and a bad example of a saved person, everybody suffers. Not just the local assembly, not just the assembly where he or she goes, but the whole church as a whole, worldwide, which is made up of every believer, no matter what they call themselves as far as denomination. If they're saved by the marvelous grace of God, they're a member of the true church, that body of Christ that makes up his church. The church, the called out ones, those that have been set aside for God's special purpose. And it's just like one body. We've been compared as to one body functioning together. When one part's out of whack, the whole thing is messed up. And so that's the principle that we see even way back in Joshua's day, when God's people are considered as one, and one sins and gets out of the will of God, it affects everybody because the entire nation was affected. It said that the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shibarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So we find then that Jericho, being this great, big, strong, and high-walled city, that was almost impossible. It would have been by human means impossible to penetrate or to overcome and to defeat. And they took that city through the work of God and the will of God, and without a fire and a shot, so to speak. All they had to do was go in after the walls were down, and they did slay the people and they took the spoil. Now, here we are afterwards, and they have now come to the next place that they need to conquer, and that is a little teeny tiny place called Ai. So Joshua sends spies up, just like he did to Jericho, and says, go up there and check them out, and let's see what it's like and what we need to do to be able to take this. So the report comes back. Well, there are just very few people up there, so we don't need to mobilize this entire army. Just let 2 or 3 people go up there, and they will be able to conquer that city and take the spoil. And now, on this one, they were allowed to take whatever they got from this. They were allowed to keep that for themselves. God was going to allow them to be well taken care of, but he just had made a commandment, you don't do that from Jericho, that's mine. When God says something is his, it's best not to mess with it. It's best not to take his money. It's best not to destroy his property. It's best not to pick on his people. I realize that it's not popular these days to be an old-fashioned Christian, to believe in true separation, and to stand by the principle that only through the Lord Jesus Christ can man be saved. That's not popular in the society that we live in, and yet there are so many people that war and fight against that, who despise people that go that route. And yet I say to you that that is God's way. That's the way God's always been. That's the way God always will be. And those folks that fight and war against that are not just fighting and warring against the people. They're actually an enemy of God, and they will have to deal with him as he deals with them. And so, we find then that Achan should not have messed around with what God told him to leave alone. Friend, I can tell you, if you do that, even in the day that you and I live in, you will pay a heavy price. Now, if you're saved, doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. God can redeem you. God can forgive you. God can reclaim you. And even if you never turn back, even if you die like that, you still go to heaven, but you're still going to have to face the music for doing that. So here we find that Achan has taken this thing. And so they said, let's just send about 2,000 or 3,000 people up there, and they'll have this thing knocked out in a few minutes. And let everybody else, don't let everybody labor. Let the rest of them stay in camp. Let them sleep late. Let them enjoy the day off. I'm paraphrasing that. So we find, so there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Now here is this teeny tiny city, and here's this mighty army of God that's going up there, and instead of warring and fighting, they're turning and running. What happened? Terror had filled their heart. I can tell you, friend, that when God's wrath is kindled against you, you have no courage. You'll turn and run at the least of anything. And as a child of God, especially, if you find that the blessings of God have left your life, then you're going to find that it's a hard road to hoe. It's a hard road to travel. And this is exactly what they're finding out. So as they fled, the men of Ai chased them down and killed 36 men. Now you might say, out of an army of 2 million, that's not much of a casualty rate. But what if you were one of the 36? I thought about the fact that because of what this one man did, I want you to notice the ramifications of those of the body of Israel. 36 men. Now, if they were of age to be going to war, it's highly likely that every one of them was married. Most Jewish people had several children, and let's just assume that they all had two each. So what do we have here? What are the consequences for these men? First of all, they lost their lives. They died there on the battlefield for nothing. For nothing. They gained nothing by it. And then you have 36 widows. In that day, there were no jobs for women. There was nothing they could do to earn a living. So now, if she doesn't have children of age that can help her, she's going to be living in poverty, maybe on the streets begging, or maybe have to sell herself or one of her children into slavery to be able to live. And not only that, but if they had 2 children each, that's 72 orphans out there. Do you see the far-reaching consequences of sin of one person? And can I say to you today that as a child of God, if you take of the accursed thing, I don't know what it is. It could be anything. Whatever that you do that you know is out of the will of God or that is sin in the sight of God, it's going to cost you some things. As we'll see, this is going to cost Achan some things later on in this series. But it's going to cost, if you're a child of God, it's going to cost the entire body of Christ some things. These were ramifications. One man, because of what he did, 36 men dead, 36 women are now widows, 72 children at least, that's a minimum. It could have been double that. Could have been triple that. But I'm just saying conservatively, 72 orphans who now have no father. They have no, if they're really young, they have no future. And if they're older, then they now have a mother to look after. And so I want you to see, friend, that sin has its ramifications. Sin has its way of costing a whole lot more than you ever want to pay. A whole lot more than you're willing to pay. But you can bet one thing. The Bible says that your sins will find you out. And we do know that sin has a payday. That was the payday that these men, and they weren't at fault. They did nothing wrong. They were out there on the battlefield doing what they were supposed to do. They evidently, in Jericho, they didn't take anything that they weren't supposed to. They didn't partake of the accursed thing. And yet they suffered at the hands of anger kindled by God, where that fear fell upon them. And these few men from Ai chased them back, all the way back to their camp, and slew them. And friend, I'm just about to run out of time here. I got a little bit more I can go. But here's the beginning of what turns into something it's a classic example of sin and what it can do for us. So you see, he said, just take 3,000 men. You don't need a whole lot. There ain't nothing going on up there. Just a few people. Easy pickings. Go up there and get them. But you see, the problem is they were unaware that God's blessings had been departed. His blessings was departed. His glory had departed. And they were not even aware. I wonder today how many folks that proclaim to be Christians, maybe you are a Christian. Has the glory departed? Has the blessings of God departed? Have you dabbled in something you shouldn't dabble in, and now you're fearful? You do not know which way to turn? And all around you, people are being hurt in one way or the other because of what you've done and what you're doing. Friend, as a child of God, I want to adjure you. I want to encourage you. Don't do it. Listen to that voice of God that's speaking to you and telling you to stay on the straight and narrow, to stay with God, stay obedient, do His will. Now then, I've just got about a little over two minutes left. I always like to close this broadcast out by giving you the gospel. How that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. He sent this message to tell you of sin and its consequences. And friend, it's not just God's people that suffer from the consequences of sin. A lost man, even. Maybe his family's not saved. He's not saved. But if he's into all of these things of sin, his family's going to suffer. He's going to suffer. His neighbors may suffer. And friend, sin has a payday someday. And it ends. Full payment comes when a lost soul dies and is cast into hell. Only at the end of the millennium, they'll come forth for the great white throne judgment, stand before God, give an account of why they rejected the Son of God. He came to this earth, as we'll see in this Christmas program I'm going to do, took upon Himself the form of a man, suffered the things that men suffer in this world, was judged unjustly, was accused unfairly, was sentenced to die, was killed, or actually not killed, but he gave his life on an old rugged cross there on Golgotha's hill. They buried him, and on that third day he rose again. And today he's alive forevermore. He's powerful, he's all-loving, and he wants to save you. Friend, if you've never been saved, I beg of you today, humble your heart, get on your knees, ask the Lord to save you. If you do that on the authority of God's word, I can promise you he'll do that. Now may God bless you until next week.